Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and today I have my bestie here in my living room, Tina Constas.
Hi.
Thanks for coming, Tina.
Thank you for having me.
She drove to my place. I am wearing the same outfit I've been wearing for about a month.
I'm wearing an oversized t-shirt.
You're wearing your black uniform that's always looking hot.
Thanks.
I'm wearing some fucking stained up outfit.
Hot.
Thanks,
you're
yeah.
Looking hot.
My legs aren't shaved still.
I have welts all over my... I fell up the stairs yesterday.
Up the stairs.
It's a good drunk move, up the stairs.
Oh, yeah. So we have a lot to talk about. I just want to start here, because this is what we were just talking about. I am seeing, and I'm sure I've said this before on the podcast, so everyone's going to be like, yeah, we know, but I can be a really huge cunt. I just like... It's funny because as a quote-unquote healer, an open-hearted person, like... You know what I mean? You almost get lost in that where you're like, oh, butterflies and rainbows. And like, it's funny because Tina, I won't mention any names, met one of my comedian friends this past weekend. And he said something to Tina like, oh, yeah, Kate's just so positive and vulnerable and like just didn't see like. And that's true. That's a big side of me. But there's also a really big side that's very dark, fucked up, has all the mean thoughts. And I think maybe I'm not expressing enough.
Yeah, I was really taken aback by that statement by this person, just because you're my best friend. So it's like, I love how Kate's so positive and she's so vulnerable. And I'm thinking about the majority of our conversations is like, I fucking hate everybody. And I was like, yeah, totally. It's exactly how we live our lives.
But like, it's funny. And this, it relates to me and you, why we're so close is as much because I have the Chelsea Handler. I know you do, too. I have a Chelsea Handler part of me big time. That's just like, fuck everybody. Fuck this. Like anger issues, cannot take all the maniacs in life.
But I don't know if it's an anger issue. It's a lack of bullshit. Big fan of Chelsea over here. I don't think she's angry. I think she's just like, yeah, no, I'm not going to deal with that at all.
Maybe I have anger. So my bad, Chelsea. I'm projecting. Yeah. But no, I love her no bullshit thing. And you and I have that. But at the same time, and I don't want to speak for you, but I believe this about you. We're also really kind people. Like we never try to hurt anyone, you know. So I do try to be positive in the sense of I've been through a lot of dark, fucked up shit. And I keep trying to find the light and doing good with it.
Yeah, I think we're super kind people. I think that that's what people are seeing sometimes, that they take us as kind people. I think that we both come off as extremely approachable, which is different in this phase of our lives and earlier phases of our lives when people definitely thought I was a huge bitch. Now it's funny because I find it in like social media commenting, anyone feels welcome to comment on my social media. And that feels adorable to me that like, the girl from high school thinks that she's cool enough with me to say what the fuck ever. And it's because I'm making myself seem more approachable, which is nice. It feels genuine.
Yeah. And I'm sure, you know, my brother has described me in the past as being one of the mean girls in high school, which is not how I saw myself, you know, because on the inside, I was struggling with my own shit. And I guess any popularity shit I had was just a defense mechanism to look
strong, and stable.
Yeah, and not
I mean,
how
when he
I
broke
was
that open for you, it was like huge, right?
Yeah,
like when he told you that you came off as a mean girl,
it was hard to
hear.
Yeah,
because it was all defensive. It was all you just trying to keep that social status, which is such a different phase of life than we're at right now.
Yeah, now, but you know what's interesting? Totally different. I'm not trying to keep any social status.
Yeah, no, me neither.
But at the same time, I'm still not trying to be friends with everyone. But from a different place where I'm like, I only have so much energy, and I only really vibe out with so many people, and you know it's coming from a different place.
Yeah, it's like I've got $100. I can only spend this $100 with these people. Like I can't just give everybody a dollar. Like I'm not down for that.
But the guilt that comes up too from just taking care of yourself and saying no, you know what I mean? Like, and I know this kind of leads into the other thing I wanted to get into with you, which is our no deal.
Fuck yeah.
Thing.
No deal.
Which means, do you want to describe no deal?
No deal is like when you get to call no fucking way, like, oh, maybe I'll hit you up and we can do something, but there's no time attached, there's no date attached, there's no anything attached, like maybe, or like, yeah, we'll talk. Like, nah, dude, no fucking deal. I'd rather not talk to you than just leave this in the air forever.
Yeah, no deal. First of all, we have to shout out James Harvey Hedges.
Yeah, James Hedges, you're the man.
Our good friend who started the no deal. Like, I can't even tell the details of it.
Yeah, can you tell him the car details? It's so good.
Well, this is what happened. Years ago, I was in some shitty guy situation, which was ridiculous. And I wish I could tell the whole story. Because anyone who thinks I have my life together, all I'd have to do is tell you this story. And you'd be like, Kate's a wreck. So I was in some wrecked up shit, and James said to me, he was like, and he's so great because he's a neuroscientist who says things,
a data scientist.
He was one in college, though. He was at the time, at the time, I think he was getting his degree in neuroscience. So he has a way of delivering in a very flat way. And he was just like, yo, just tell him no deal. And he's like, you go to a car dealership. You have a certain amount of money. You tell them the car you're looking for. They offer you a shitty car. And you literally just go, no deal. And it was like so simply put. And I couldn't. First of all, it's taken me. That was probably like 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, me too. I was still friends with you then. The no deal thing happened for me when it happened for you through James as well. And I feel like we're just figuring out how to no deal.
Yes. Because like I said to him, I'm like, easy to say.
Yeah.
Like when you have fucking self-worth issues and you're just so thirsty for connection, you can't say no deal yet. But you and I are finally getting to a place where like, no deal. Like, no. Like,
I'd rather be by myself than hang out with this deal. It's a shitty deal.
It's a shitty deal. And I'm just seeing like how many people, and it's not even their fault in a way. It's like they've got accustomed to their own shitty deals and they've learned that they can get what they want by acting in a certain shitty way. So how do they know? And I'm not saying I'm perfect because I'm seeing so much of my shittiness. So trust me, people can no deal me, you know, and that's fair. But yeah, Tina and I are both in the no bullshit way. It's just like, yeah, no deal.
What are some no deal setups?
Let's go into work, a workplace example. I literally, because Tina had me, when we talked about no deal, she's like, yo, you should write a rap song about this.
That's true, you should. All the scenarios that are no fucking deal.
And I did. Right,
so work scenario.
Okay, work scenario. So you're at work and your boss wants you to stay extra all the time without giving you extra pay. And you feel like you have to say yes or you'll lose the job.
Right.
Eventually, you need to step up your self-worth and be like, yo, I'm not going to get treated like shit. Like, I'm going to tell my boss, yo, I'm not going to do like double the amount of work for no extra money. Like, no deal. And it's scary because you don't know what's going to happen, but that's a no deal
situation.
It's
always scary to stand up to people who are paying you. That's like one of the scariest things to have to do. I have a situation like that right now. For those of you who don't know, I'm a designer and I am
the best in the world.
Thank you.
Like, check her out. What's your Instagram for the interior?
At tina.constas, K-O-N-S-T-A-S. Thank you. But that's not where it's going.
I'm not even bullshitting, though. Girl, I ain't bullshitting.
Thank you. But
and she got that ass, too.
That's also on the Instagram.
Yet. Sorry.
That's when times get really fucking tough. I've always got that in my back pocket. I want you to know how many times I've thought about that. And I'm sure you have too. I'm sure that Kate has also thought about this. If we get low on our dough, fucking Instagram those bodies, girl.
That is the funniest. I mean, I guess like, I mean, it's never gotten there, but I would.
Oh, my friend Jeremy has always been like, girl, like shit gets weird. Just Instagram that ass. Like, just
how would you make money off of that, though?
I think that you get like stupid. You start promoting stupid shit. That's why girls are like pushing fit tees. That's how they do that. And they make money off of that. Or you start wearing certain people. Yeah. Oh, Kate's like interested.
No, I'm not. I just Kate just owed. I just like, I guess that's obvious, but like.
Yeah. I know. I have one friend. I have one friend that like they do Like It to Know or some shit like that, where like anything she's wearing, you can click on the tag. And if they can tell that you bought it through her, she makes
that kind
money.
Of sounds awful, to be honest. Oh,
that's why we would never
that's
do
why
it.
It's
fucking yeah. That's why it's a backup, because it's fucking awful. But anyway, I'm a designer, and the point here is that I got hired to do this restaurant, and they're obsessed with a certain pattern scale designer Mad Hatter looking thing, and there's a barnyard sale for this thing, but they're gonna be on vacation during the barnyard sale, and now they ask me. Well, they kind of just mentioned, they're like, hey, well, we're going to be away. So like, would you go to that for us? And I'm like, where is it? And they're like, it's about 6 hours away.
Whoa.
And I was like, what do you have to do? They're like, well, you have to get there at 6 a.m. and get online. It's about a 3-hour line. Bring a buddy in case you have to go to the bathroom. And I'm fucking sweating because I'm like, holy shit, holy shit. How am I supposed to say no to this?
Yeah.
And they're like, when we go, we usually get a hotel room. And I had to take a deep breath and no deal these people that pay me. And it was horrifying. Like, I had to be like, I will happily do that, but that is outside of my scope. I would need you to pay for my accommodations. I'd need you to pay for my travel, and I would need you to pay for my time there. And of course they said no.
Right.
But they were trying to dick me into going. Yeah. And that is like the first like no deal. Like that is one of the first adult no deals I ever just like laid down by people who were paying me. And it was really scary.
Yeah. And people will get away with, unfortunately, what they can. Not everyone will ask for things like that. But, and you and I have been saying this for years.
Rich people do it a lot.
Rich people. Well, very entitled behavior.
Rich people do some fucking crazy shit like that.
But you and I have talked about this for a long time about being your own CEO. Like, yes. You are the CEO of your business. Yes. You get to say what you're okay with and what you're not. But the guilt that comes up from setting those boundaries is insane. And you and I are both experiencing that lately. Like, we'll say no or say, well, you know, is this too assertive? Should I not, you know, say it like that? Should I be a little nicer? Should I like be assertive, but then end it with like a thank you?
Yeah. Hope being assertive like in relationships, is that you're saying in personal relationships, friendships, or sexual relationships?
All of it. Even in the business thing, like you stand up for yourself and then immediately this guilt rushes up. Yeah. Like, oh, do they think I'm a bitch? Was I just too mean?
I think it's like what we always get back to, no matter what, even romantic or just regular life. Like, it's a self-worth issue. Am I worth saying? Am I strong enough? Am I still going to be liked if I say no?
Yeah.
Are they still going to like me if I say no? And that's fucking hard. Super hard. All right. Another no deal.
You want another one?
I
feel like
one.
It's your turn.
Is it my turn?
Yeah. I did the work thing.
You did the work thing. So how about friendship no deals? I think those are even harder than romantic no deals.
Oh, man.
That's a fucking hard one.
I'll give an example. This is really brutal. This was years ago. I can't
you
give
have
details.
A good friend. You have
You're
a good
gonna
friendship.
Know okay, who this is.
Shit. I won't say it.
And I wish I could give details, but like, it would be murderous.
Yeah.
Look, I said that so like it would be murderous, and I so want to tell.
I got
Carla so
tell all you guys
16 guys. You would not believe what this fucking girl did. You would be like, what? And I'd be like, I know.
That's how we talk to each other when no one's listening.
Tina. This has actually happened a couple times, but I'm talking about a specific person. There was this one person I was really close with, and she was getting herself into like bullshit stuff, like, but that I've gotten myself into. So I'm not trying to talk shit, but she was getting herself into a similar situation over and over and wanted to keep talking to me about it, but didn't want to hear my actual thoughts or opinions. Do you get what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
And this was like years where she'd get into something that was like pretty horrendous.
And what kind of?
She was dating a maniac.
Okay.
And he was a maniac.
Is this about me?
No. Damn, I wish I was that funny and smart to have done
like,
that.
I was like, oh my God.
It's all about you. I'm like, Tina, what do I say to her?
Yeah.
I want out.
The maniac part came in. I was like,
you've dated a maniac, but the difference, and so have I. The difference is that we say it. So like totally, when you've dated your maniacs, I didn't have to break it to you.
You did once, actually.
Did I? Tell me. Yeah, wait, yeah, tell yeah. me.
Oh God. I had
my armpits sweating.
Nice.
Sorry. Keep going.
I was in college. I was getting my second BFA, and I remember exactly where I was standing. I was in the library. I call Kate and I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm really just feeling like he's right and I should give him a little bit more space. And it really was my fault. Like, I remember legitimately saying these things out loud. Like,
now I'm
I had been
sad,
brainwashed.
Now, yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, and you know what? Like, maybe it was my fault. And maybe I was a little too hard on him. Maybe I should give him a little bit of space. And I stopped talking and the phone just went like silent for 5 seconds. And you were like, yo, like... Just yo girl, you girled me. Like,
yeah.
This is not good. This is not right. You sound like, you literally said you sound like you're brainwashed. You sound like you're in a cult. You sound like this person has really gotten in your head. And I think I got mad at you. I'm pretty sure I got mad at you in that moment. And then quickly, like quick turnaround, half hour later, I was like, no, she's totally fucking right. Thank God. Thank God
scary.
I have somebody to say that to me though.
It was a scary moment. Cause I think in that moment I was like, do I tell her or do I go along with it? And I think I've learned, and I'll go back to the other situation, but that other situation did help me, even though it was scary, to be like, no, you always have to say, if it's a real friend.
That was a real friend moment. You defined our friendship in that moment. You could have just let it go and been like, I'm going to tell her, like, all right, I hope you're good and you have a good day and I'll talk to you later. But like, you defined our friendship and you were like, no, I'm going to say this hard thing to you because I care about you too much. And I think I always loved you, but I definitely loved you different after that day. It was huge. Thank you. No, thank you.
Well, you and I both do that for each other. Like, if we disagree, we don't hold back. Yeah, like, maybe there are slight times because it doesn't make sense to be social like, no, norms. You're wrong. Guacamole is not the best dip.
Yeah.
Although I'm sure we actually would say that. That's fine. If you said a dip, I'd be like, no, that's not the best dip. But but anyway.
Anyway, your situation.
So my situation did not go that way, whereas, like, you know, for at least a year, she was dating a maniac. And she recognized when it ended that he was a maniac. I didn't have to break that to her. But when I tried to bring up her end of it, like, it was almost like, oh my God, can you believe I dated a maniac? Like, as if it just fell in her lap and she had no role. Yes.
Got it. All right.
I wish I could give more details because, like, but I'd be such an asshole because I actually still deeply love her. You get,
like, a text message in a week, like, hey.
Not even. She would just be like, I knew she was a shitty person. Yeah, and I'd be like, well, kind of am. Kind of am, kind of not. It's a paradox. I almost said her name.
Still figuring it out.
But no, so, like, it was really hard and I eventually did say something to her and it was fucking difficult and she reacted so negatively. Like, I remember I sent an email, she didn't respond for a long time, like, but by the end, like, literally a month later when she did fully respond, it was like, you're wrong. Do you know what I mean? It'd be like if I had said that to you and you're like, no, you're the one who's brainwashed, right? You're the one, you know,
don't understand us.
It was like, but it wasn't even, she wasn't even with this guy anymore, but she was just like, you're the one with love addiction issues. You're the one with this. And look, I do have love addiction issues. And that's what sucked is, like, I had admitted that and she used it on me. And I'm like, yeah, no shit. I talk about it.
And that's why I can see the situation that you're in, because I understand that I would do the same exact shit. I'm giving you the most loving and heartfelt advice because I could see my own pattern. You're literally just being a decent person.
So she responded so negatively and so that was for me like a no deal though, in a sense where I was like, yo, she wants me to be friends with her where she gets to like talk my ear off essentially. And I loved her. So she would listen to me and like she was great and is great. But it was almost like no deal. Like if I don't get to be myself and speak my truth in this friendship, I have no place in this. And I am a strong woman. Like, obviously, like, I'm very fucking strong. I have strong opinions, but I also do have a huge fucking heart. Yeah. And I'm not ever saying these things to be mean. I'm not saying I'm perfect. Sometimes I'm sure I react and it comes off mean. But my intent is always to actually shed light on something. And like, people are free to disagree with me. Tina disagrees with me a decent amount. Although probably not too much.
Just because we're super similar. But whenever we disagree, I feel like we're pretty cool about being like, man, maybe that's not what's going on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just like, yeah. So I no-dealed that friendship because I couldn't be myself and I had to hold back my feelings. And this is not saying, like, if you're in a friendship where you're not feeling it, I'm not telling you all to go and, like, yell at your friend, like, definitely, you actually hate your life and you should quit, you know, your job. Like there's still, you have to be tactful in how you deliver. And I definitely don't always deliver it the best. I try. But it's about just saying no deal. Like this
no
friendship
deal. You don't
work.
Even have to really say anything. Like, hey, I think I just need a little bit of space, and then not in a shitty way, but then you just ghost out. You get on with your life. Like,
yeah.
I think that we might slightly disagree there, but I also feel like people don't always need a breakdown of what's going on. I think that
you could just walk away.
You could just walk away. Like, I often feel like it's totally acceptable if someone sends you a text message and you feel like really hurt or really violated, or it's such a shitty text message with such a shitty pretext that like pretense that you can just be like, no, I'm not fucking answering that ever, and just moving on with your life. I think that's totally fine.
I have problems there doing that, you know, and you've told me, you're like, yo, you do not need a text back. Like, that person has done nothing to even earn that.
Yeah, to warrant it, to deserve a text back.
But I
think we just like to say what we want to say, too.
Yeah, totally.
We want the last word.
Yeah. You and I are very expressive people, and I love that. I think we're all meant to express, and most of us hold back. And I think especially in spirituality, people mistake certain quotes for, like, for example, unconditional love, letting it go. I think people mistake that for being like, oh, well, then I just have to put up with bullshit. Like, let it go. This person hurt me, but I let it go and I keep talking to them. Oh, unconditional love. They can continue to act like an asshole and I still love them. Let me explain what unconditional love is. Unconditional love is you love a person, you let them be who they are, but if they are not treating you right or making you feel good, or if you have to hold back around them, you walk away. It's unconditional love, not an unconditional relationship, which is what Jeff Brown says. I don't want to take that as mine. But it's like people don't understand the difference between letting go and like walking away, you know? And that's where I think, yeah, I think there's a difference there that people need to understand.
Yeah, that's so fair. I think that unconditional love is just like this tricky concept that people throw at you. Like, I thought you loved me unconditionally. Like, it doesn't mean you get to just do whatever shitty thing. I love you unconditionally as long as we're on the same fucking page. If you're trying to hurt me or hurt yourself, I'll do the best to deal with that. But at some point, if it's too much for me, I can walk away from that. I can love you unconditionally from afar, too.
100%. And I think there are so many people, though, that like stay in these relationships and just do this mantra, let it go, let it go.
Yeah.
If you are holding back your pain, your rage, communication is everything. Communication, and so many people are scared because we don't like conflict, but like if you cannot communicate how you actually feel, whether it's a friendship, a romantic relationship, and even in your office is going to be different, you know what I mean? But like if you're having to swallow bullshit every single day, you need to figure that shit out, because it will literally give you some kind of fucking physical sickness. It manifests.
And it'll fuck with your self-worth. Yes. And that's the thing that everything always comes down to. Like, saying no has to do with your own self-worth. And the more you let people get away with shit, the more your self-worth gets fucked with.
Yeah.
So I think it's little bits of no deal. If we can, little tiny steps of no deal. All right. So we did, can we do a basic one? Like a basic ass one, just because we have such.
Yeah, please.
All right. So Kate knows, that I am the maid of honor in two weddings this summer, and I'm very happy to be those maid of honors. I have no problem.
You saw the fear in my eye. Tina's good at it. For me, it's like literally I lost a friendship because I was only a bridesmaid.
Yeah, so I want to talk about how we can deal and no deal. As I don't know what the age range is for your listeners. I know they're all over the place, but once you get in a certain phase of your life, all your friends just start fucking getting married, which is rad. But then you have to make the decision. And it's something I spoke with one of my friends over this weekend.
I just want to put that in there.
You know, I'm saying good for them if they're happy. Yes. What I mean by that is like, which is fucking rad if that's what they want to do. But I think a lot of people have this like gut gross reaction to weddings. And me and one of my friends this weekend were talking about how weddings can sort of ruin friendships permanently. Like, you know, he was like, he didn't invite me, or he invited me to his wedding and I didn't go. And then after that, he told me he was pissed I didn't go to his wedding, and now we're not friends anymore. So the dealing and the no dealing of weddings, I would love your take on that.
Yeah, I'm so happy you brought this up.
Yeah, I would love your take on that, because I feel like ours is a little bit different.
Totally. No, it is. That's why. Okay, so Tina and I are about to disagree, so this is exciting.
Yeah.
I'm such a teacher. Watch this,
guys.
Watch this disagreement. It's going to go really smoothly, and this is how our friendship ends, and I'm like, well, shit.
And I'm like, air it.
Girl, if our friendship ended live, you know I'd air that shit.
Hell yeah.
Anyway. Any sponsors to listen while we end our friendship?
That'd be so dope.
You know, we definitely disagree with wedding stuff. Well, first of all, I did have a friendship kind of end. I mean, obviously there were other issues, because she asked me to be a bridesmaid. I said yes, but I already knew I was going to be quote unquote shitty because I hate it. Like, and it's not that I didn't try. Do you know what I mean? I really did try. I swear to God. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, of course I know what you're talking about. What did you... I know who you're talking about. I know when you're talking about. I was fucking there.
Yes.
But what do you mean you tried? What is the aspect of it that you just can't fucking stand?
There's so many. Okay, so this is what I mean by tried, which I know you're going to laugh at. I showed up to the fucking shower.
Showed up.
I hate... shower, whether it's a baby fucking shower. I get social anxiety. Literally my insides are
dying. They're boring.
But I get it. Like, when I say showed up, it's not like I like wasn't gonna show up. But for me, that was like a lot. Like, that's something I avoid, social interaction. Like, I recently went to my friend Amina's 30th birthday in Washington, D.C. Of course, I love her like a sister, but it was a big deal for me. Like, it was it was a lot of inner anxiety, like, oh my gosh, you know, and I had fun. It's not that, but it's like, even for me to just leave my home for a night gets very intense and scary. So when I say it's a lot, I get it. I'm dramatic. I feel a lot of things, but it is for real a big deal. So for
you,
me,
yes. Like for you, you genuinely feel that.
It's intense. Yeah. Being around large groups of people freaks me the fuck out.
And I feel that way too, which is, this is where we're going to agree, because I feel exactly the same way. Just we both get that
social anxiety. And that's why we're such good friends. But where it differs is that you suck it up more in a way.
I suck it up hard.
And I've gotten to a place, not just with weddings, where I've said, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm still like, look, I went to Amina's and I quote unquote sucked it up. So I'm not saying never.
What'd you say? I know, and you had fun, air quotes. Yeah. You had fun.
I did have fun, but at the same time, like, I stayed up so much later than I I'm such a baby. I did. I had fun. I was around cool people. And like, but at the same time, like, I was the nerd that wanted to be in bed by midnight. Like, I'd had my
That's
night.
Not nerdy, though. That's also just claiming your reality. Like, I don't like to be out that late anymore either. Like, if somebody asks me, you want to go out or you want to drink in the house? I'll be like, I want to drink in the fucking house. I'm not trying to leave this house at all.
I'm laughing at my yes. Yes.
Kate
queen.
Doesn't even drink. And she's like, yes, I want to drink in the house.
Well, no, like weed. Like when one time I smoked within the last year, I smoked weed at New York Comedy Club and I lost my mind. It was the worst.
I
literally
don't smoke weed in public.
Snapped at someone.
Oh yeah, I remember that too.
I'm nuts, you know. So I'm not supposed to be, whatever. If I drink in public, I start sobbing to the point where people are like,
"Yeah,
get
I
her
never
out of
know
here.
What's gonna get loud." That's, I mean, because we're so similar. That's a weird thing about me and drinking. Either I'm gonna have the best time, or I'm gonna be crying. You don't know who you're gonna get, and I don't know who you're gonna get.
And by the way, anyone who's listening, I am aware that Tina and I might be lesbian lovers who just don't like pussy. I just want everyone to know we're very
don't
aware.
Like pussy at all.
We're very aware of how similar we are, and yet, and I say this to her, I'm like, Tina, are we just lesbians who don't want to get in the puss?
Yeah.
And she kind of blows me off. But
I don't blow her off. I think I'm not trying to focus on that thought right now.
Yeah, I'm like puss. She doesn't even like the word pussy.
I don't like it.
Anyway. Back to these weddings.
Bridesmaids, yeah.
Okay, so me trying hard was I showed up to the shower. I gave it my all, though. Like, you know, I was being, like, I got the fucking dress. I paid for it. Do you think I liked paying for this goddamn fucking dress I'm never going to fucking wear again? I don't have a lot of money. Right. Spending, no. When I got married, yes. Was it the saddest wedding of all time? Yes. Did they miss, it was a vegan wedding and they spelled it V-E-G-G-A-N.
So beautiful.
Why are you even putting vegan on the fuck? Why did you even spell it?
Is it really vegan? You didn't even spell it right.
Whatever. It was the worst. It was so sad. But when I had my wedding, I told the girls, yo, wear black, whatever you have in your closet, or get something you want. You know what I mean? I did not ask a lot of my bridesmaids.
Because you wouldn't want people to ask a lot of you.
Yes.
But.
I hear you.
But. So the other side of that coin is.
Anyway, wait, real quick with Corinne. Okay. That's about all I did.
Oh, no, I said that. You said her name. That's why I just pointed at you like, you fucking idiot.
But I love, first of all, we're cool now. I want to say that too. Like, and we've talked about this and we laughed about it where I was like, yo. You chose the worst person.
That actually shows how little she knows you. Because if I ever got married, I don't even know if I'd ask. I bet you would do it anyway.
I would be a bridesmaid.
Yeah.
I would. And I'd do it happily. And I would, do I want to come with you and see you in your like hot fucking ass? In your wedding dress, I'm going to be rapping to you while you try on. Do you know what I mean? I'd be like, yeah,
oh
girl.
Oh my God, that's going to be so
lace,
hype.
That lace. You know what I mean? Like, I legit want to do as much as I can. Do you know what I mean?
And when you get married, I'll just be crying because that's all I do. Like, every time you come out in a dress, I'll cry. You can ask both of my brides. The second they come out, I'm like, you look really
pretty.
And
then I start crying. We just start hugging.
You can ask them, like, she is a fucking loser. That girl thinks she's
no, you're the cutest.
I cry every time I see them. But what I'm saying on the other side of that is that some part of me feels like I love them so much. That even though this isn't my thing and it takes a lot of my energy and it like sucks me dry in this weird way that
all
like
just sounded so bad.
It's so sad. No, it is. Yeah. But then I realized when I
you're
get
like,
there,
even though it's going to take my life 10 years earlier than it
yeah,
should.
Yeah. But I feel like it means so much to them.
Totally.
And it really does mean so much to them. And I want them to have, because I love them so much, I want them to have the best possible experience around their wedding. And because I'm the maid of honor in both of them, I mean, I've gone so OD. I'm sure you know about it. Like, I'm not just their maid of honor. I've made like concept boards for their wedding that they bring to their florist, that they bring to their DJ. Like,
well, Tina's literally, I'm not just saying this. She is a mastermind genius. Of course, if they want you as their maid of honor, not just, I mean, yeah, you are the best friend.
There's a serious perk.
But there's also like an insane perk of like, oh, and I just got a free wedding planner.
Yeah, you got a free wedding planner. Absolutely. So I've been doing that and it takes so much out of me. But there is this part of me that is okay with it. So I think that's the other side of that, yeah. That like, I want them to be as happy as possible. And if it takes a bunch of sacrifice on my, but I think that's probably something I should work on too, though. Like, you shouldn't sacrifice so much just to make other people happy. But I really want to. It's a weird feeling because I really want to do it. I really want them to be happy. So I'm happy to do it. Because the second anyone hears that I'm the maid of honor in two weddings, they're like, that is fucking awful.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nah. I mean, it's not great, but I love them both so much and I wouldn't have it any other way. And I mean that genuinely.
Yeah, no, and I don't think there's like a right or wrong. Sorry, I just burped. A right or wrong way.
No, I don't either.
Do you know what I mean? Like my way works for me. And if I was doing what you were doing, I would literally, I'm not just saying this to be dramatic, I'd probably fall into a deep depression. Like, I would be so unhappy that like I would take the bride down accidentally.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And that doesn't help anyone. Whereas like you.
But that's the question. Like, what makes you so unhappy about that?
So much. Is like, first of all, I don't. Even without outside of a wedding, I don't like planning events like that. Like, clearly I'm doing my own dance party.
Right.
But that's like, you've seen how I planned it. It's literally like DJ, dance. You know what I mean? It's place, DJ, dance. There, he was like, my DJ, DJ Ouija, who's amazing. He was like, when are you going to rap? He said that in the beginning. I was like, I don't know. When I feel like it. Like,
right.
I just kind of like,
The massive amounts of planning gives you anxiety.
And it's so funny because it's one of my biggest issues is like learning how to not be obsessive and not plan. And it's almost like if I enter that space, I get so neurotic that it takes over my life.
Because you are like that. You are such a hyper planner in other ways. Like when we hang out, you want to know like what time, you want to know like what if like, yeah, like that's so interesting. I didn't think of it like that, that if you did go into that, because remember after your dance party,
I'd be psychotic.
Yeah. I am psychotic is the thing. I like have their weddings planned down to a T.
It would, but you're able to still almost function like.
No, yeah, I am able to function.
Would be like literally I would sputter out. And but the funny thing is with the time thing you're saying, that's changed even so much in the last 2-3 years that I've been in my spiritual school, because it's the tightness. It's
you're like, just like laid back.
I'm changing so much, whereas like, okay, today and tomorrow, like I just asked you to do my podcast today.
Yep.
In the past, this would have been planned 2 weeks in advance.
Definitely.
And now I'm kind of like, oh, it'll work out. Like Wednesday came. I didn't know exactly what I was going to be doing. But I was like, oh, I think I should podcast Tina. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I've gotten so much better. Even like with our Monday play date that we did, it was semi-planned, but you didn't really let me know till the day before if it was definite. And that was fine.
Yeah.
Like, where in the past, that would have made me melt down. So I'm definitely working on that thing. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I think I also have a weird thing about weddings, probably because I had the shittiest one ever.
Definitely. I never even thought about that. I never put that together.
It brings a lot up for me and it's hard. So it's not that I don't feel happiness for the people, you know, but it's, you know, ever since I was little, literally, if you look in my high school yearbook, Tina, you would die. It's like, I go, Mary is in all caps, like scary. Like, what do you want to do? I'm like, da da da, Mary. And then I had this wedding that was far from my dream wedding.
Of course.
To the point where my dad was so worried if I was going to be okay.
Right. He tried to talk you out of it, right? Didn't he say like you could not go through with it if you wanted to?
Everyone tried to talk me out of it.
Yeah, I remember you.
And they knew I wasn't happy. And it's not to shit talk my ex. It's not. You know what I mean?
No, it was about you.
It was about me.
Separate from your ex. It's totally fine.
And I was 6 months pregnant and everyone was just worried about me.
It just wasn't ideal at all. And you had to go through the motions and I can't even imagine.
I canceled the wedding about a month before. Canceled it. 100% canceled it. Then put it back on a week later. But my dad and stepmom would no longer pay because they were too concerned. Saved the money for my divorce fund.
Wow.
And of course, now my ex-husband at the time was going to be my husband was pissed. He's like, wait, so your family's no longer going to pay? So they're just making a statement that I don't believe in us. So now he's pissed at my family. Do you know what I mean? Like, so now.
Yeah, it was just shitty all around.
Re-put on a whole new wedding for $5,000 that I had to find the money to pay for. Actually, you know what? Jason's mom helped too a bit. But it was like the cheapest wedding. It was, the energy of the whole thing was so sad. And, you know, it still breaks my heart because I'm still like, I do want to get remarried one day. And I'm like.
You get remarried and I'll fucking kill it. All right.
I love you, Tina.
I got this, girl. No, well, you're not doing anything to me. I seriously enjoy it. But anyway, I don't know how long we've got. I just want to say, can we tell girls whether or not like.
Oh, my God. We have time. So.
Oh, you do have time.
Yeah, but go on.
All right. I got to be out of here in like 20 minutes.
That's fine. Okay. That's fine.
So I think what we're getting at is that it is totally cool to no deal being a bridesmaid if that is not your fucking thing, though. Like, I think that there's so much pressure and it is better, 100% better to fucking no deal a bride than to be a shitty bridesmaid. Because I think they can feel that. You know what I mean? They can feel that you're not excited. They can feel that you're not pulling your weight. They can feel that you are just showing up to shit. And I think that you are way better off saying, like, I love you and I want you to have a great day. But I think that it would be better if I did not do it with you.
Yeah.
So just like, you can no deal brides if that's not your fucking thing.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. Intense. Because when you do get married, and I know you're going to.
Maybe.
Whatever. you know, I'm not inviting myself to be a bridesmaid. But you know what I mean? Like, I would love to be your bridesmaid. I would also be so honest with you the whole time.
Right.
Like, I'd be like telling you what's giving me anxiety, but not in a way that would like take you down. Like, I would be like, yo, totally want to do as much as I can, but also not to the point where like you're picking up on my weird. Do you know what I mean? Because then.
Right. But that almost makes me feel like maybe at no point should you be telling a bride what you. You know, their lives are fucking crazy right now. So, like,
so how would you do it?
I don't think you tell a bride like, hey, I'm psyched to be your bridesmaid, but I'm already going to make my list of demands of how I want to be your bridesmaid.
But I don't mean demands. I mean, like, this is what I mean. And I think it's good that we talk about it. So even, do you know what I mean? Seriously, I think that this is like important. And this should go to things other than weddings, everyone.
Yeah.
But like, okay, so suppose you're getting married and I do think I could be a bridesmaid. Do you know what I mean? Because I want to, because you're my best friend in the entire world. But I'm nervous because I don't want to let you down, but I also don't want to say yes to shit that's also fucking me up.
Right.
Which
any good friend wouldn't want you to do anyway.
Totally. So how would I, like, I think you just
lay the map out. Like, you're going to be my bridesmaid. That means that you're going to have to help with the shower. You are going to have to help plan that thing. Somebody will probably take the reins. I'm going to guess out in the world right now, if I got married, Megan would take the reins of that wedding. Megan would take the reins of the wedding and she's going to need help doing X, Y, Z. There's usually a gift for the shower. You would have to contribute to that. You're going to have to get a dress. You're probably going to want to come to when I try my dress on. And then there will be some sort of bachelorette party. Bachelorette parties are fucking another level of annoying on top of weddings that are totally different subject. I don't even know if I would have one because the commitment that you make to someone's bachelorette is like, I did a sick one for Megan's, but like, I don't even think that I would do that. But anyway, no, I don't know about your bachelorette. But hold on, let me finish.
Yeah, finish.
So then you would have to be there. You'd have to get your hair in. You don't have to, but usually this is the list. I would lay out what's probably going to happen. You're probably going to get your hair and makeup done. And
I'm literally already having a panic attack.
That's what I'm saying. And if you don't want to do this shit, that's totally cool. Just don't be my bridesmaid, but show up to my wedding. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm already having such a hard time because I'm like, oh, that sounds like I would be a shitty bridesmaid because I'd be like, even helping to plan a shower. You said that and I'm literally like, I don't even know what that means.
Right. Somebody would help out. Like somebody like Megan, Alex, Christy, the ones who have already been married and have had all those experiences. They would probably take the reins because they know what they're doing. But I think that's what you do. I think you lay it out to someone who's on the fence. And I've had my sister and her best friend, Daniela, definitely just no deal brides. Like,
really?
Yeah.
It would suck to no deal you, though. Do you know what I mean? Because I love you more than
Yeah, but it would still might be for the best if you're happier, if you're enjoying my wedding. If I would never want you to feel like disdain towards me because you feel like you have to do something you don't want to do when I'm getting married.
Holy fuck. I can't believe this happened on the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, don't worry, guys. I don't even have a boyfriend, so Kate's in the fucking clear.
I'm going to be the husband. That's what she don't know. That's what she don't know.
All right. All right. So we got weddings. You were going to say something, though. Fuck.
No, I was going to tell you real quick. I don't like to share too much of my ex-marriage thing because I try to always respect for real his, because he has his own perspective, and I know, and from his perspective, I was often a huge bitch. You know what I mean?
That's so, like, fair and mature.
Yeah. So like, I don't want to put this out there like this is how it was, because in his mind, I know he felt a lot of anger and resentment. So, but I can, so I'll say this as fairly as I can. For our bachelor, we had a co-ed. I made us have a co-ed bachelorette party. Now, that's a good idea if it's a group decision, meaning the two of you. When it's forced, it's not good. So I literally forced him to have a co-ed because I was too nervous to allow him to go off and do it on his own because I didn't ultimately trust him. And that's already the problem, right?
Red flag.
Yeah. Don't trust him. Shouldn't be getting married, but I was already pregnant. So we end up having this co-ed bachelorette party, and it was just like, at first it kind of started fun. Like, we had like porn playing for everyone, like, to be funny. Do you know what I mean? Like, we were all going to go, all of us, like the husbands and the wives, the boy, like, to a strip club. Now I'm 6 months pregnant already. It's like, what the fuck's going on? And the overall thing was, I was trying to control. So that's why he was already pissed. And he, I hate sharing this stuff. He goes, Kate, get in here and put the food away. And anyone who knows me, that is not a way to
talk.
That's
a no deal.
That's a no deal. So I walk in, and everyone's already like kind of holding their breath. And I walk in, I was like, you put the fucking food away. And everyone's like, like, you could hear the like air.
Everyone's turning their head.
Yeah. And he goes, you put the fucking food away. And I was like, you put the fucking food away. Now I put the food away, but I did it really angrily. Like, I
shoving shit.
Yes.
Yeah.
I shoved it in there. Like, and that's when it was on. Like, the fight was on. He was already pissed that I could try to control the whole thing. You know what I mean? And he felt emasculated and blah, blah, blah. So he's pissed. And I kind of go up to him and I'm just like, what's going on? Blah, blah. And he was like pissed. He's like, I don't even want to talk to you right now. You forced this whole thing. You controlled it. Like, blah, 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 blah. And he was like cold in a way that I'd never experienced him before. And I started having like one of those major stomach aches. You know, when you start fighting and like you're totally shut out of that person's soul. Like, I started having a severe panic attack and stomach ache. And I like went to the bathroom, literally probably like having diarrhea. Like, I was like,
and you're pregnant.
I'm pregnant. I'm just like, what the fuck's going on? Like, first of all, I got pregnant only knowing him 4 months. So this was a moment where I was like, I had seen a side that I hadn't even seen yet. And I'm pregnant. I was like, what? Like, it was like, it was really scary. And then he like knocked on the door, still in the bathroom. He's like, are you coming with us or not? And I was like,
I wish I was there.
I know.
I really do. Like, you're telling me this story and I'm like, man, I fucking wish I was there.
It was way darker than I'm even telling it.
Oh, I know it. Yeah. I can tell. I can imagine. Just because.
This was the night I called off the wedding.
Yeah. I know several of these parties as well. I can imagine that it was really gnarly.
It was really bad. And, I was like, I think I came out of the bathroom and looked at him and like almost like pleading with my eyes, like, I can't go. Like I was like, I'm not in good shape. Like, I was, because I knew he was going to ignore me the whole time while stripper's boobs were in his face. And I was like,
what a fucking awful setup.
I was like, I'm a wreck. Like, I was like, I can't, like, I literally feel like I'm about to throw up. Like, my world's crashing down. And he was like, fine. And he left.
He went.
And there's more to the story that I'm not going to share for privacy's sake. But it got, you know, I kept calling and there were some ugly conversations. And then I ended up calling that's Shane's podcast. It was like, you're done. But yeah, time's up. But anyway, I ended up calling my brother. My brother was like, why don't you come over and stay with me for the night, at least until things are calmed down. And then the next day I called off the wedding. And dark, yeah, for everyone who thinks I'm only positive. Oh, but yeah, you know what, I came through it, so there is the positivity.
You did come through it, guys, like a lifetime ago.
Yeah,
I met you right when you were getting divorced.
Yes,
I met you when you still had your married name and I had to get used to your maiden name, which is a crazy, crazy thought. Now
you knew me as Kate Sudia.
Yeah. What we didn't get into, which is really funny because it's where we were going and I don't even think we're gonna have time, but it's fine, is that you can fucking no deal this shit out of relationship stuff. Like, we totally missed that, and it's cool because we're out of time, yeah. But, like...
What time is it? Oh, well, you have to go that way?
I have to go, yeah.
Do you have a couple more?
Yeah, I got 10 more minutes.
Okay, good. Because, yeah. But, yeah, no, let's talk about the relationship no deals, because
relationship no deals.
Tina and I have really struggled with knowing our worth in romantic relationships, and...
We've come a long, long way.
A long way.
of just being like, wait, I'm like, we used to sit there and overanalyze text together, but now it's become this bigger thing where you're like, yo, just fucking say no. Just say no. You're being a piece of shit. I do not want to talk to you. Bye. Instead of being like, what should I say?
Yeah.
It's a whole new setup. And I think that like when you get here, nobody, like we were saying, nobody can fuck with you anymore. Because as long as you are like aware of your worth, you can no deal someone. Be like, I don't even know. Like, what's this? What's a text message setup that we would no deal?
I always try to give non-specific, and it always ends up being exactly happened.
Yeah, me and you do that.
Okay. I'm just, I don't want to get, okay.
Just I'm going to just do it. Just do it. Yeah, just do it.
So I've been wanting to have a talk with a person to air out certain things. I can't even, I try to think of something that's not specific, Tina.
So did I, but I can't.
I can't.
Me neither.
I don't work that way. So I've been wanting to have a talk to air out some pain and anger I have around some stuff. And the person has been saying he's not up for that for various reasons that are possibly legit. You know, they are legit. It's not up to me what's legit, what's not legit.
Yes.
So he has not been able to do that, which is fine. That's fine. But then I got a text saying like, okay, I'm available to talk. And then when I said when, suddenly wasn't available, which is fine. And once again, another legit reason as to why, but it wasn't okay with me because I felt like I was getting, yo-yoed, you know what I mean? And it was hard for me because
you
a part
just nailed
of me,
it though, which was fine, but it wasn't okay for me.
Yes. That's the point.
That's the fucking point. Yeah.
And I think it's hard to get there because this person is legit allowed to also not want to have that conversation. Yeah. And in the past, I'd want to force it. And the way I'd try to force it in the past is by playing smaller, by not having said anything and knowing, oh, it'll happen if I just shut my mouth.
If I just shut up. Everything will come if I'm quiet like he wants me to be quiet.
Yes.
And fuck that.
And that's the part of work. I've done the work to be like, whoa, 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 no. And it doesn't do him any good either because then he's entering that talk where I'm holding back a lot of shit and then raw, it comes out. Better for him to know where I'm at, including my anger, and then he can actually decide if he wants to have that talk with me or not. But in the past, I wouldn't have said no deal to that. I would have shut up just to try to get that connection. And I, you know, and it, quote unquote, ended nicely. Like there wasn't any like fight or, you know, it was like, okay, well,
it was just two people stating what they're at and yes, where they're at and what they're willing to deal with. And he wasn't willing to deal with what you wanted to do and you didn't want to deal with what he wanted to do. And that's fine.
So we both no dealed each other.
Yeah.
It wasn't even just a no deal on my end. It was like, okay, well, that's what you need and that's fair. This is what I need and that's fair. And right now we're not able to meet on that bridge. And who knows what can shift or change, but like right now on both ends, it's a no deal. And that's fair. Like, that's just fair.
But back in the day, like we said, we would have been like, no, I'm cool with talking the way he wants to talk, or no, I'm cool leaving it open-ended. If he wants to talk in 3 weeks, he can hit me up. Like, no, you didn't want to live with that anxiety this time. You didn't want to walk around thinking, shit, is he going to text me today? Is he not going to text me today? And I think that's what it is. When you can remove that anxiety and like become aware of your self-worth and be like, I don't need to deal with this anxiety. I can just say, I don't want to fucking talk to you then. If you're going to leave this open for a month, then just don't fucking talk to me at all. It's easier that way.
Yeah. And I think a lot of us, and that was the interesting thing, because I went to Tina's house Monday and I was having the anxiety and I literally, right, I had an angel card come up that said, be assertive. And yeah, I live by my angel cards. But because I knew it was right. And I was like, I don't have to live in this anxious state. Like not, and I don't think this person was trying to get me there. But I was like, I don't have to do this. Like, I can make decisions for me that allow my life to be as smooth as possible. And maybe we still will talk in the future. Like, genuinely, that might happen. And I would probably still enjoy that. Maybe. Who knows? But I'm not going to have it in a way where I have to beat myself up.
Yeah. And you said be assertive. Be assertive does not mean being mean.
Yes.
That was what we kept saying to ourselves. I'm not being mean. I'm being assertive. I'm just recognizing the fact that I have self-worth, which is the fucking hardest thing to do on the planet.
Yeah.
The hardest thing. Because you're like, oh my God, am I being mean by saying no? I don't want to talk to you when you want to talk to me. Like, no, it's just, that's just what you want to do. I don't want to talk to you in some weird headspace that exists in fucking month from now. I'm so over that.
This isn't about dudes versus girls, by the way. I fall into that sometimes, you know, but I do think there are some people who have gotten used to having their way in a certain capacity and don't like being told, oh, it's not going to go that way, myself included. And I saw on both ends of me and this person how we were both used to getting our way in different ways and how we both, in a healthy way, I think, stood up for what we needed. Yeah. Like, this person didn't want to force a talk and do it when it didn't feel right to them. And that's fair. And I wasn't able to do it their way, which is fair. And I think a lot of this is like, not necessarily getting your way, but also not caving in when it doesn't feel right. And once again, if you have to hold back to be in any kind of friendship or relationship, whatever, you got to start looking at that, because we're not meant to live life where we are constantly holding back who we are. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
And if you have feelings for someone, I want to talk about that too.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of us have.
I hate that one.
I know.
I just got like, ew.
I didn't mean it. But I think this is important too. If you have feelings.
I'm kidding.
Okay. If you have feelings for someone that you're even just friends with, like, that's another thing where, like, you can't hold that back either. Like, you don't want to lose that person. So you're like, well, fuck, like, they're one of my closest friends and we have so much invested in each other, but it's becoming really painful to just be friends with them. Like,
that is such a thick topic that could have its own thing. Like, what do you do when one of your friends has feelings for you? What do you do when you have feelings for one of your friends? Are you going to ruin your friendship? All that shit. That's like,
it's totally. But I'm getting to a place, but you might not agree. You just got to say it, because it's there anyway.
No, I do agree. I totally agree that you have to say that and you have to acknowledge it. The worst thing that you can do is ignore it, because then it turns into this big, ugly thing and then you're not friends anymore. But,
and you've been there in the past. I will not bring up names or details.
I've been there. It exploded.
And now, this was years in the making, but like, that's what happens when you become a ticking time bomb.
Or the other person does. Right.
What do you mean?
Like, the other. That's what I meant.
The person holding back the feelings. Yeah. Because the person who doesn't really have the feelings.
You're chilling. You're fine.
You're chilling.
You don't give a shit. And then,
but
like,
it'll affect you in the long run anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Because
it's going to bite you in the ass
and
when
then
you find
lose
out.
A friend, and then you're so heartbroken. But then you're always lying to yourself a little bit, because it's not a real friendship if somebody is in love with you. And I think that as soon as you acknowledge that, the better that you're doing for yourself and for your friendship and for your friend. If they're your real fucking friend, you shouldn't be that shitty to them.
But we like to pretend, right? Like, when we know a friend's in love with us, and it might even go to our self-worth. We're like, but they're not really in love with me. Like, they have a crush, you know, or okay, maybe we hooked up a couple times or we had sex, or, but like, you go, oh, but it's not that serious. But you're almost convincing yourself of that so you can continue that thing.
Absolutely.
And the truth is like, that's why the communication, the honesty on both ends needs to come in, and you have to be willing to kind of give up, because we also like being adored.
Yeah, everyone does. Everyone wants to be wanted. But I think that it also feels really dirty and yucky when it's coming from your friend and you're not honoring them. I think it feels gross.
It's sad. It becomes sad, because that person's feeling rejected at the end of the day.
Especially if you love them too, because then you're aware that their reality is a little shitty because of you.
Yeah, even though they might pretend that, like, oh, but you're bringing me so much light and inspiration. It's like, yeah, but if you're having these strong feelings that aren't being reciprocated, like,
and you're stuffing them down,
awful.
Yeah,
so many. I've been there, and I had to walk away. That, you know, I won't mention this name again.
Oh my god.
I'm gonna mouth it to you though real quick. Yeah. But like, yeah, you're like, bitch, I knew.
Yeah, I know.
But like, in that situation, like, we were such so I had a situation where I was such good friends with a person, and I wanted to be with them, and it wasn't being reciprocated. And I walked the fuck away. It was hard and it took time. Like, I walked away and then there was coming back and go. But like, yeah, I know you got to go, T. But at the end of the day, I was like, yo, this hurts too. Oh my God. It was like, because we kind of worked together a bit too.
Yeah.
And like, we would do these things. We'd be on like the same comedy show. And like, one hand, it would be so fun. It always fucking felt like I was being stabbed in
the chest.
I was
just gonna say that you had anxiety all the time.
And I was analyzing it and comparing myself to the other people that were in his life. And like, it was a dark thing that I'm not proud of either. But at the same time, what can you do? You can't fucking beat yourself up over your past. But it was definitely, I'm so happy. I will never put myself in situations like that again. If I have feelings for someone and they're not reciprocated, totally fine. but I want away from that situation. I'm not trying to punish or torture myself anymore just to prove something.
It's another no deal. Even if you're the one with the feelings, just because you're not getting what you want, it's still fucking no deal because you're the one suffering all that anxiety.
Yeah. All right, mama. I know got to wrap up. Yes. Where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at tina.konstas, K-O-N-S-T-A-S.
Amazing. Please check her stuff out. And for me, go to my website, thekatewolf.com. I have a blog on there. I write at least once a week. If you want a tarot reading or any other kind of interesting healing stuff, hit me up, kwolf2f27@gmail.com, and hopefully break free. I might have to find another place, hopefully not, but hopefully that will be every month, and I'd love for you guys to come.
Yeah, come. It was rad. It was so much fun.
Tina came, and she's one of the best dancers in the world.
Thank you. So. I get shy, though.
I know, but I feel like next time
I'll get a little weirder.
You're
easing me in.
All right,
thanks.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.